Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to God's Kingdom in Motion, brought to you by the New Bethany Family Worship Center for All Nations. Your host and teacher today is Pastor Deontay C. Atkinson.
Good morning, everyone. This is Pastor Atkinson. We give God praise and thanks for another day that he's given us to prepare our hearts and to receive the word of the kingdom. We thank him for your support. We thank God for you just listening in during this time every week for God's Kingdom in Motion. We pray that all is well with you today. We pray that the Lord has truly blessed you. We know he has. And we just give God praise and thanks also for our sponsor of God's Kingdom in Motion, which is the New Bethany Family Worship Center for All Nations. Well, we serve as a senior pastor, a lead pastor there, a servant leader, I like to say, more. That's more of my heart as a servant leader. Because we need to know how to serve, and in our service, that's the greatest worship unto the Lord, as seen in our obedience and love for the Lord. So we just thank God for you. We thank God for the continuing grace that God gives us to be able to come every week at this time to bless the name of the Lord by giving his word and allowing the Holy Spirit to use us as an arrow to shoot us out and to bring a word of grace and a word of love into someone's life to help, and most of all, change a life, transform a life. And those who may not know the Lord may come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we thank him for this chance and for this opportunity. We're going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll give out our information, as always, about the ministry, and we'll get right into our lesson. Father, we thank you. We bless you, Father God, even now for what you've begun in us. We thank you that you are faithful, and you are able, Lord God, and you are eager and able to finish it. We give you glory. We give you praise, Father God, for we know that this is the day that you've made, and we shall rejoice and truly be glad in it, Father, for we know that in spite of everything and anything on today and throughout today, Lord, you've already gone before us to walk our steps and to make the way plain before us. So we give you praise and we give you thanks for who you are, for your faithfulness towards us, oh God, your love, your compassion, and your way that you keep us, Father God. We thank you for that. So as we come now, Lord, we ask that you would just let us down in the treasures of your word, and that we'll be able, Lord God, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, to give us the unction to function, that we'll speak a word in season, and we won't speak anything, Father God, that you're not accepting on that, nor do you like want to be released. So we just want to be pliable in your hands and usable in the hands of the Holy Spirit today to be a blessing to the people of God. We give you praise and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as always, we just give out a little information about our ministry of God's Kingdom in Motion, where we're housed and we base ourselves in the New Bethany Family Worship Center for All Nations. We're located right here in Las Vegas, Nevada. We're located at 1229 West Owens Avenue, and the cross streets are Martin Luther King Boulevard and Owens Street itself, or Owens Avenue, I should say. And we have two services on Sundays, one at 8:30 a.m. and then also at 11 a.m. And also we have tonight, we have a midweek Bible study, and following our Bible study, we go right into our worship service. So you're invited to come and you worship to worship with us. We'll do everything that we can to make you feel right at home and comfortable. And we just want you to know that we are here to serve. That's all we want to do is serve. And in all things, that God may be exalted in our service, that he may be exalted in our submission before him, that the souls of people will be changed and they will come to know Christ in a greater, deeper way. So we thank the Lord. Amen. As we begin in our work, the word of the Lord today, we just want you to know we've been in a series for a while now, and I know many people may say, well, how come it takes so long? Well, you know, as the Bible says in Hosea 6:3, then shall we know if we follow one son of the Lord. And one of the things I've learned very well in the Lord, I'm still learning even more so, is that right when you think you're done with something, until the Holy Spirit really tells you that you're done, you're not done. Because one of the wisest things to do is not to assume that you know what to do, but always be open to the Lord to allow him to move upon your heart to show you and to tell you what it is that he would have you to do next. And if there's nothing that he tells you to do next, you stay right there, and you keep exhausting that word, you keep exhausting that scripture until the Lord gives you release to go further. And that's my heart, because I believe that even as we've been talking about prayer and we've been talking about the progression of prayer and how do we move, we're moving in prayer to deeper depths and different levels of prayer. But most of all, learning the discipline, we're learning how that prayer is not just only to God, but is with God. And now we've been talking about, we've dealt with prayer, we've dealt with fasting, and now we're dealing with warfare. And warfare, as we know it, many times has been misunderstood and misinterpreted by the body of Christ, because we need sound teaching. We need sound teaching that will give us the authenticity of what God really wants us to know, that we would not turn everything that we learn into a religion. And so what I mean by that is religion is nothing more than man's systems or man's ways of getting to God without Christ. And that's not the way. It will never work. I don't care what's been said about it. There's no such thing as religion that will get us saved. Religion was not given to us by God, but relationship to Christ. So prayer is a relational word. It's a relational word. It's an action word. But most of all, it's a progressive word. You progress in prayer. You progress in fasting. You progress in warfare. And the warfare is not just only, as we've been saying, it's not just about dealing with demons and devils. It's also, most altogether, it's dealing with the issues of our own personal lives, our hang-ups, our habits, the what is called the idiosyncrasies of small things that many times become great things. It's been said in the Bible, I believe it's in Ecclesiastes, where it says, the small foxes spoil the vine. In other words, when we don't deal with small, what can be handled at this time, problems, and we allow those things to go on and they begin to fester, what happens is eventually they get out of control. We can't control them. But we begin to walk in a greater discipline in our life and begin to understand that God wants us to see the significance and the reality of being a people who are well-prepared, well-trained, well-equipped to be able to deal with their own personal situations. And what I mean by situations, I mean the issues within us. Because a situation can be seen as something that happens outside of you, which is, in other words, you're driving down the street and all of a sudden there's a roadblock, there's a traffic jam. Well, that's a situation. You didn't cause it. You know, it's just a situation. But if you don't have what is called self-mastery, you can become angry, and that's why we have a lot of people today on the roads. Here in Las Vegas, I'm pretty sure it's in other places, for those who are listening in other regions and other states and even countries, that we know that that uncontrolled anger can become very dangerous. Many people have lost their lives because people don't have what is called self-mastery. They don't know how to master or control or to put under restraint their anger, their emotions, so their emotions get away with them. And then before you know, when they finally come down and they calm down, they realize they've done something very, very, very bad, but they can't do anything about it because what's done is done. So that's my point. Because what we leave as unfinished business, what we leave as unattended to situations in our life, which means the situations that we don't handle because of what's happening inside of us, we find ourselves repeating problems, repeating the same scenarios, deja vu. We're going back over the same thing over and over again. It's because of what we leave unfinished. It's because of what we don't offer to the Lord and surrender to the Lord, to his lordship. And in return, he gives us the grace, amen, he gives us grace to be able to press through these things, and not to ignore them, but to finally get to deal with them, to finally, notice what I said, to finally deal with them, because we can't leave things undone. We can't leave things suppressed. It's like suppression is like taking something and just pushing it down or sweeping it up under the rug and just kind of like getting it out of sight, out of mind. So you and I know that whatever you hide or you neglect, it's going to come back to bite you. It's going to come back to haunt you. And so we don't want that kind of a lifestyle. I know I don't. I want to make sure that I'm doing everything that I possibly can to deal with what's wrong in my life by giving it to Jesus. But first of all, becoming aware of it, because I can't fix what I don't face. I can't fix what I don't give attention to, and I can't just pray over it. I just can't ignore it and just say, I'm going to pray and it's going to be okay. Well, yeah, it'll be okay, but I have to give it to God in prayer. Which means I have to be willing to trust him and to have faith in him that he's the one that's suited to do this. But I have to follow his directions. I have to follow what he gives to me as instructions and to do it thoroughly, not just to do it once or twice, but to follow through and to make sure that with the grace that God gives you and me and by way of the Holy Spirit, which is the enablement of the grace, like I said, we're able to not just do something, but we're able to keep doing what is right. Because one of the greatest tests of the Christian walk is not just doing something once or twice. It's continually doing it. When Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock, he was talking about something in the context of continually being done, continuing to knock, continuing to seek, continuing to ask, which means that we should always keep coming back to God. Not when we get things, when we begin to see what we want, it becomes a reality, and it becomes manifested for us, and so then we kind of just drop our guards. And that's one of the reasons why the enemy capitalizes so much on the believer. It's happened to me in my life. When I start feeling good about things, and before you know, you don't pray like you should, you don't fast as often, and you start finding yourself slipping a little bit. You may not notice it right away, but then before you know it, you look up one day, and all of a sudden it's like, well, how did I get here? Well, it's because of what we have left undone, because we have lacked the discipline, which is very important. And notice what we've been talking about throughout the duration of this whole series is that prayer is a discipline. Prayer is a discipline. It's something that has to be practiced. It's something that you've heard the phrase, practice makes perfect. Well, we have to be willing to become conditioned in the spirit, conditioned in mind and heart, and every way, so that we are very well equipped to be able to stand against, as the Bible says in Ephesians 6, the wiles or the tricks or the schemes or the strategies and the plots of the devil. Because Satan will never give up on trying to get us to slip up, to fall down, and never get up. So we have to be willing to stand up in the Lord, and but we can't stand up until we awaken, until we get up. We got to get up, but we can't get up until we wake up. And many times, I know you and I, we all have done it because we're humans. You can get up out of the bed and still not quite be awake, and you can find yourself stumbling around until you get your bearings right because you haven't quite awakened yet. But when you become awakened, which means you become aroused or aware, you don't stumble into walls and stub your toe on a coffee table. So that's what we find happening in the body of Christ, because people are not practicing discipline. They're stumbling around in the light. They're asleep in the light because they're not aware. Because what makes you aware? Let me get to that because we don't have much time. The Word of God is what is most important. One of the priorities of life, if you want to really prioritize your life, you have to be an individual who becomes a student or a disciple of the Word of God. God is not raising up members. He's raising up disciples. Discipleship or disciples are nothing more than men and women who are walking in sonship. Sonship speaks about character. It's not about male or female. It's not about a man or a woman. It's all about character. A woman can be a son of God. A man is a son of God, but they are identified by their character. They're not identified because they call themselves a son. They're identified because of the character that they carry, the character that comes forth as fruit. You know, Jesus said that his desire for us that we will bring forth much fruit, and that our fruit will remain. Now, there's fruit to be received of others out of our life. Then that fruit that remains, the fruit that he's talking about, which is what Paul said in Galatians 5:20, talking about the fruit of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. Well, there he's talking about characteristics. He's talking about the personality traits of Christ that should be seen or reflected, or like I like to say, put on display. Christ being put on display through what? Character. Because we would rather tell people we're Christians rather than be a Christian, than being someone who was no longer just a underdeveloped infant in Christ, but now beginning to be someone who is Christ-like. Christ-like in word, Christ-like in deed, Christ-like in lifestyle and style of living. So people begin to see the reality of who we are or who we are also becoming. Because we be, but we are also becoming. I be a son of God. I am saved. But yet at the same time, I'm being saved. And now what I mean by that is salvation is not just limited to salvation from sin. But salvation also speaks of peace. It speaks of prosperity. It speaks of abundance. It speaks of what we have in God that's not lacking, but more than enough. It's abounding more and more in our life. So as we talk about this, we've been dealing with worship. We've been dealing with worship. And the matter of worship is all about knowing what it means that the word itself speaks of. And it speaks of adoration. It speaks of great laudation, which means to bow, to pay homage to someone greater. And also, it is not just the posture of one's body when we kneel down and pray or we kneel or we bow. That's not the real genuine meaning of worship. Now, you can bow the body to someone, but the real bowing unto God is not the body, it's the heart. The heart has to be bowed. Now, the bowing of the heart literally means this. It means humble to God. It means given to God. It means broken before God. Broken doesn't mean devastated. Broken means humble. It means that a person is walking in brokenness, which means they are totally given unto the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that they're perfect. Doesn't mean that they're not having problems in their life. But what it means is when they do have problems, when they do have difficult situations that arise in their life, because they're broken, which is that they're humble, they give themselves to the Lord. They're learning. They have learned and are learning how not to take it upon themselves to do what needs to be done, but to go unto the Lord, to come to God and say, "What, Lord, what would you have me to do?" That's most important. See, that's a form of worship. And that kind of worship, it causes great, great despair for the enemy. It causes great disillusion. The enemy becomes a disillusion. He becomes very confounded because when a believer begins to walk like that, their life is very unpredictable. See, right now, most of us are predictable to the enemy. He knows what we're going to do if we get mad. He knows what we're going to do when we're sad. He knows what we're going to do when we become happy. And because it's a learned behavior. In our ministry in New Bethany, we are always talking about how that many times in the body of Christ, we're just using it as an illustration. that, like, for instance, when someone is delivered of a demon, or they're delivered of a particular habit, they get delivered. That thing is broken, but here's the point: that might be broken, but the learned behavior is not broken, because they've learned a way of living. They've learned a lifestyle as a result of that bondage, as a result of selfishness, as a result of jealousy or envy or hatred or anger. They've learned a way of living, and they have to unlearn that. We say constantly in our church, I have to unlearn what I think I know so I can learn what I don't know. So even as on yesterday at our midweek Bible study, I told everyone, said, as of right now today, we're going to forget everything we've learned about worship, and we're going to start from scratch. We're going to start from ground zero, and we're going to build upon the premise and upon the foundation of wisdom and truth. We're not going to base it upon what we heard other people say. We're not going to base it upon what we've repeated to ourselves, and not really knowing what it means, knowing what we've repeated, what it means. It's amazing how we can say a lot of things, but we don't really know what it means. We can explain it. We just repeat what we hear someone say because it sounds good. Well, I've done that before. I've done it many times in my life, but I've also learned that that's not the way God wants me to learn. Now, there are things that I must say, out of balance, that there are things I've heard said by people who are very, very qualified and living the life of a believer, and I can listen to what they're saying, and I can take it to heart. However, but I need my own experience, and what I mean by that is I must experience God for myself. I can't take your experience and make it mine. That's your experience. I can't make my experience yours either. We have to have our own personal experience and encounter with Jesus moment by moment and day by day. And worship is one of the greatest powerful tools or even weapons in warfare. Because when we become true worshipers, we learn how to walk as a worshiper, our worshipful lifestyle. Notice what I said, worshipful. Which means it's not just a lifestyle only, it's an attitude. Because it's not just having a mind to worship God when we go to church. What I mean by that is when we come to church on a Sunday, we go to the house of God, and that's the only time we think of worship. I'm talking about throughout the whole day. Now, there are times God knows that we have to do our job. Some of you are working and different things of that nature, taking care of children. Well, but it's when you establish in your life an attitude of worship, you can be doing anything and still have a song in your heart. You could be speaking unto the Lord, telling him how great he is, how awesome he is, how great, and all that goes along with worship. But it's the fact of knowing that you're becoming worship. Because worship is not like only like praise, where it's what you do, it's who you are. I am worship. I am worship. I am worship, which means my life worships him. When I'm not saying anything, my life is worshiping. What do you mean by that? What I mean by that is this. When you're silent and everyone else is doing everything else that is maybe, say, for instance, maybe contrary or very negative and derogatory to God, but your actions show that you're a lover of Jesus, and without saying a word, you're worshiping God. Like, I like to use an illustration, like, for instance, when people around you, they may be doing the wrong things, and you may feel a feeling that you want to do what they're doing because they're doing it, and all of a sudden you say, no, I'm not going to do that. That's worship. It's when you're, for instance, when you're tempted to tell a lie, when you're under the pressure, when someone asks you a question, and you don't want to look bad, and you feel that telling the truth will make you look bad, because we have a tendency to believe that when we tell the truth, it makes us look weak. No, that's strength. That's what you call strength in action. That kind of decision-making is worship to God. That's worshiping him. When you could lie, but you don't. When you feel like striking someone and saying something bad to somebody, cussing them out, and you choose to bless them, Jesus said, if you're cursed, bless. That's worship. When people are trying to be peace destroyers and you become a peacemaker and you do everything within your power to be at peace with people, even though they may not want to be at peace with you, that's worship. And you don't let what they do stop you from being a person of peace. That's worship. That's the kind of worship I'm talking about. And see, that within itself confounds Satan. He can't take that. He can't stand that. That's unpredictable. You've just become unpredictable, where if someone says something about you, he knew there was a time that you would say something back to them. If they lied on you, you would say something to hurt them. They hurt you, you hurt them. Back and forth, pity, tick for tat. But all of a sudden, you grow into a place of maturity in your life because you're going with God. Hosea 6:3, one of my favorite scriptures, then shall you know if you follow, want to know the Lord. In other words, as you go, you will know. And as you keep going with God, you will go in your knowing. And as you go in your knowing, you become more mature. You become more no longer as a little baby in Jesus or a child in Jesus. But now you're mature. Now you're becoming what is like in your preteens, or now you're becoming someone who's a young adult in the spirit. So you're handling things totally different. You're not getting upset when things don't go your way. You're learning how to be cool and collected. You're learning how to be comfortable in your own skin. You're learning how not to allow people to draw you into their dark world. You stay in the light, because where they are, you can't afford to go where they are, because where you are is greater than where they are. And as a matter of fact, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. So you don't go where they are. You stay where it's safe. You stay where there's life. You stay where there's an abundance of grace and mercy poured out in your life. And you choose not to come down, but to stay up. See, in order for you and I to get straight with people and to get them off our backs and all of that, now that's the right way and the wrong way to do anything. Don't get me wrong. That's the right way and the wrong way to do anything. You can correct someone without trying to destroy them at the same time. That's a way of letting someone you didn't appreciate them cursing you out without cursing them. There's a way of telling the truth in a way that you don't water the truth down. You give them the whole truth. But you give it to them in such love that when it's all said and done, they might be mad about the truth, but they can't accept. They can't do nothing but accept because of the way you did it. See, that's worship. It's a choice. See, worship is a choice. It's not something that's made. We're made to do. Now, in a sense of being made, well, we can balance it by saying we were created by God to worship him. We were created by God to worship him in what we say, what we do, how we live, okay? What I mean by made, I mean forced. God doesn't force us to worship. That's why it's a discipline. See, discipline you enter into discipline by choice. By choice. Now, you know that there's certain circles of life, like in prisons and in the military, well, they're made to do it, because when a person does something wrong and they go to prison or go to jail, they're going to be made to get up at a certain time. They're going to be made to go eat at a certain time. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where there's no forcefulness in it. You choose of your own free will to either or, to do or not to do. That's your choice. But we can't become upset with people who are getting results that are true worshipers. See, one thing about it, you don't have to argue with people who are being a worshiper. Worship is what, you know, like the old phrase is, stupid is what stupid does. Well, worship is what worship does. You don't have to go around saying, I'm a worshiper. If you're a worshiper, everyone would know that you're a worshiper. And if you're not, you will know that you're not. Because most of the time, people have to defend that they're not worshiping. Their faithlessness. They have no faith, so they want to always, I do have faith, I do trust God. But if you got to keep saying it, most likely you don't have it. And if you do have it, you don't use it. There have been times in my life, I've walked in that area before, because I had to come to a point in my life to realize that it's not about what I'm saying so much as saying something, it's what I'm doing. I can be saying the right thing, but if I'm not living it, it won't do me any good. Jesus said it simply like this, a hypocrite. Anybody can be a hypocrite. I don't care who they are, from pastors, from whoever. We all can be hypocrites if we so choose, because hypocrisy is a lifestyle. Hypocrisy is a choice. So either I can begin to live a truthful life and put the enemy on pause in my life. How do you put the enemy on pause? Well, you delete out of your life, like you would delete something, you delete all the negativity. You begin to make choices that literally begin to disarm Satan in your life. You stop giving him the ammunition to keep shooting you with. You stop handing him the gun to shoot you down. You start using what was given to you by God to start seeing results that first of all, begin to be seen in your life, in you, inside of you. Because whatever you want to see on the outside, it has to begin on the inside. See, everyone wants to jump the gun. My father always said, you don't put the cart before the horse. And a lot of Christians live like that. They want to reverse principles. You can't reverse a principle. And a principle is nothing more than an instruction, a law, a command, or first taught truth. What I mean by first taught, first means it comes from the one who gave it, which is God. All principles are not godly principles. There are some principles that work darkness. But the ones I'm talking about, they work the light. They work in the light because they're of the light. Christ said, I'm the light of the world. I am the light. So those principles give instruction when times that no one wants to do them, but there's a small number of people who choose to walk that way, which means they choose to walk in discipline. And before you know it, it becomes second nature to them. When you do something over, it's been said, it's been proven, you do something 21 times or more, it becomes a habit. So what if we would, just think for a moment, what if you and I would start doing what's right 21 times in different areas of our life? What would eventually begin to happen? That would become a habit to us. And we wouldn't think about it. We wouldn't even give it the time of day. We'd just do it automatically. And it's no longer seen as discipline. It's just seen as part of our lifestyle or our style of living. So worship, as it relates to what we're talking about. Now, let me give you a scripture before we're off the air here, because our time is going really fast. And I want to also say that this is my last month on Block Talk Radio. And as I said before, we'll be continuing on our ministry of the God's Kingdom in Motion, but we'll be doing it through the venue of KKVV here in Las Vegas, Nevada, on 1060 on the AM dial. So I just want to start speaking that now, because as the month rolls toward the end, you'll know that you won't see us, you won't hear us here anymore, but we'll be there. So you can follow us on Twitter, you can follow us on LinkedIn, you can follow us on Facebook, and you can also follow us on YouTube. So we are exhausting all of the social media outlets, so you can follow us. You can follow us. And we are also working with our media team and our ministry, New Bethany, and they're uploading new material on YouTube, so you can find us on YouTube. We have a Facebook page. I have a Facebook page. It's just you can find me. All right. Now, the Bible says, I'm going to read this, and it says, in St. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, I'm reading from the complete Jewish Bible, and it says, I'm going to read that again. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And this is describing how we come, but not just come once, but you keep coming. See, worship is continual. And I wanted to use that scripture to build that on that premise. Worship is continual because you have to continue to come to God. Now, for instance, in St. John 7, the 7th chapter, the 37th through the 39th verse, it says this. It says, Jesus said, it was said, and that scripture says, in the last day of the feast, Christ stood and cried aloud, If a man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, the drinking, we talked about this before. You know, and I know right now in Las Vegas it's getting very hot. It's what it is. It's a desert. That's what it does. Okay, now they tell you constantly here in Vegas you have to keep yourself hydrated, which means you have to keep drinking water, not just soda and sugary liquids. You got to drink what's going to replenish what you're losing. When you're sweating and all that, you're perspiring. You got to put that back into your body. That's why a lot of people get sick, and I don't understand why they're sick. Because they're not putting the right things in their body, so their immune system is down. I don't want to get into that because we're running out of time before I know it. But anyway, my point is that once we begin to walk in the understanding of what we're doing, as far as being able to understand what comes into us, we'll determine what goes out of us. What comes in determines what goes out. What I mean by that is what your diet is. What is your daily diet? Are you in the Word daily? Or you're just learning to survive. You're just learning to make it. No, that's not what God wants for us. He wants for us to have the mentality and the lifestyle of one who thrives and one who flourishes. God never gave us a survival covenant. He never gave us a promise or promises based upon survival. He gave us promises based upon blessing. Blessing and abundance and increase and prosperity comes from the reality of knowing whose we are, not what we are necessarily, but whose we are. Amen. We see that our time is just about up, but I got a couple of more seconds here, so I want to say this. Now, as we come down to an end, I want you to get into your spirit. We're going to hopefully next week, I believe that the Lord has put them on to deal with the woman with the alabaster box, because there is such a great revelation in that, and that is this: the Lord shows us how we should come to him and worship through her. In her own choice and decision of making it to take what was most valuable to her, she did not see it as more valuable than him. See, that's what worship is all about. You're seeing God more valuable or more worth than anything, anyone, including yourself. And he has first choice in your life. That's one of the greatest ways of explaining how worship operates and how it should flow through us, that we are mindful of who is most important. And because he's most important, that means he's first, which means we have to make a daily decision and choices to put God first and, with his grace, to keep him there. And that's what you call the abundant life that Jesus talked about in St. John 10:10. But I give unto them more abundantly. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May the Lord give you his peace.